Amen. Good morning. God is good. And all the time. Amen. I didn't get an opportunity to welcome everyone this morning. I see we have a few visitors as well. I want to thank you for being with us today and apologize that I didn't meet you before this moment. But thank you for being here, and I pray God's blessing will be upon you today. But I have to tell you before we get started, I do have some weighty issues on my heart today that I will be bringing to the church. And I am praying that God will open our eyes and our ears so that we can see and hear, and our hearts so that we can receive what God has to say, because He speaks to all of us, and sometimes we forget what God has told us and have to be reminded. And so today, I hope, is a reminder and a rejuvenation for us as a body. As a body. I'm praying for that. And I'm asking God's help in that. And I'm asking for you to please hear what I have to share this morning and to receive it with grace and mercy, because some of it might seem a little harsh. But sometimes we have to be reminded. I'm going to ask that you stand with me this morning. I'm going to be reading from John chapter 9. John chapter 9, I'm going to begin in verse number 39. John chapter 9, beginning in verse 39. And Jesus said, "For judgment I have come into this world, that those who do not see may see, and those who see may be made blind." Then some of the Pharisees who were there with him heard these words and said to him, "Are we blind also?" And Jesus said to them, "If you were blind, you would have no sin. But now you say, 'We see,' therefore your sin remains. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber." Father, I thank you so much for this day. I thank you for grace and for mercy, for compassion. I thank you for salvation. I thank you that you have loved us, though we have not deserved it. You love us still, though at times we do not reflect your love upon us, nor through us. I pray, Father, today that our hearts will be moved. Repentance will be found and made where needed. Rejuvenation will be found and received where needed. But all of us, Father, I pray, will be unified in you and in your Spirit. And to your glory alone, we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Be seated, please. I know some of you must be wondering, where in the world is Brother Joel going with this? But there is a lot that we need to unpack with this. But there is something I want to share with you. There is a statement. Many of you know this theologian. This gentleman has written many Bible studies and been a pastor and a teacher. J.I. Packer. You've probably heard of him. One of his most notable study guides is called Knowing God. It's a wonderful study guide. He has this to say for us, and it's a truth that we already know. The entire New Testament is overshadowed by the certainty of a coming day of universal judgment and by the problem thence arising. How may we sinners get right with God while there is still yet time? God tells us throughout all of the New Testament, even in the Old Testament, judgment is coming. And salvation is at hand for those who hear and receive. The only path to avoid the destruction of God's judgment is through repentance and salvation in Jesus Christ alone. That is the only answer. But once we find that path and that justification through Jesus Christ, our path and our trials are not over. Our journey is just beginning. There is so much we have to learn, so much we have to do, so much we still have to repent for because we have failed in our life as a Christian, as a faithful believer. Take the Pharisees, for example. This is a group of people who worked and lived in the temple. That's all they did. We know God. You want to know God? Go see the Pharisee. They know God. Go talk to the scribes. Get in with the Levites. You know, they work in the temple all the time. They're the assistants. They make sure everything is ready, and they guard against people coming in that shouldn't come in. Pharisees. They had a question for Jesus. Are we blind also? The Pharisees, standing before the Son of God, are we blind also? Now let's bring it into context a little bit. The man who was born blind had received his sight. Jesus had taken some ground and spit upon it and put it on his eyes and told him to go and wash, and he did, and he could see. Jesus didn't heal his eyes. He made him eyes from the dust of the ground. For the dust is from which we come, and the dust is to which we will go, this body. Jesus made him eyes, and he came back, and the Pharisees could not accept it. We know that this man is a sinner. And the blind man kept saying over and over to them, you've asked me what happened, and I have told you what has happened. Do you want to become his disciple? They said, we're not his disciple. You're his disciple. We're Moses' disciples. We know that God spoke to Moses. We're Moses' disciple. And they had lived this way through generations, father to son to son to son, continuing to teach separation between class and between people, those who belong and those who don't. Now think about that for a moment. Those who belong and those who don't. Jesus said, most assuredly, I say to you, and this is his response to their questions. Are we blind? Are you telling us that we're the ones blind? I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door but climbs up some other way, they are a thief and a robber. They were trying to steal the joy of the blind man having received his sight from God. They wanted to steal it. They wanted to beat it out of him. They wanted to kick him out of the temple because he would not confess Jesus was a sinner, operating under the influence and the power of Satan himself. We know he's a sinner. Well, isn't this an amazing thing? You're asking me what happened. I know who he is. Isn't it an amazing thing that I can see and you cannot? And Jesus says that you have to come through the sheep door, the gate, the doorkeeper. And then Jesus says later in chapter 10, I am the door. I am the door. No one comes unless they come through me. But he's speaking to the Pharisees, and he says to them, if you come through any other means, you are a thief and a robber. That means you're not coming through me. You're trying to find some other way in. You remember what they said to the blind man? You're his disciple. We are disciples of Moses. They were walking in an alternative path. In our world today, how many times do we hear there are many paths to heaven? And I'm telling you, it's a lie. There's only one path to heaven. That is Jesus Christ alone. And there is no other. And I'll stand on it until he comes to take me home. And if I leave you behind, it's not my fault. It's yours. Because you were still blind. That's the question I have for the church today. How blind can we be? Because we grow up in the church. We think we know everything about God. We think we recognize what God wants us to do. We think we are bound and put in place to instruct and to direct and to prevent even those who don't belong in his church. How blind can we be? How big is the heart of the Pharisee within us? How big is the heart of Judas within us? Because I want to explain something to you. When Jesus says, if you come up through any other way, you are a thief and a robber. Now, he is talking about those who come into the body that God has brought into being. And in that day, it was operating under the laws of the Old Testament and the temple. But in our day, we're operating under the laws of love and mercy and grace. And don't forget it, for we are saved through grace, and that not of ourselves. It is a gift that none of us should boast, so that none of us could hold on to the collar and say, but I know God. I know what it means to be lost. I know what it means to be saved. And I know how to point to the path of salvation, to the foot of the cross, and to the Lord and Savior that was put upon it. But is not resting there anymore, but waiting for those who will come to escort them into glory. He said they are thieves and robbers. And in case you don't know what a thief and a robber is, let me give you the definition of a thief and a robber. A thief is one who steals by stealth and deceit, and takes what belongs to another, violating even God's command against stealing. They take by stealth, by secrecy. A robber, though, is a different character in and of itself and of themselves. These are violent people, even in groups at times, outlaws, revolutionaries, and they will intimidate, and they will plunder, and they will even do it in groups. Because they don't ever want to go on their own. They might be overpowered if they go by themselves. And in our world today, let me tell you what thievery looks like in the church in our world today based on these stealthily terms. You ever heard the word gossip? Gossip is the work of the devil. You better read what God says about gossip in his scripture. Take note to what he says in Proverbs, the seven things that God hates, and at the very end of that list, the seventh one, those who cause discontent among the brethren. This isn't my word. This is God's word. And it's for all of us. It's for me. And it's for you. And the robber, once they got their gossip going, they gather their crowds and then they go to take over, to do what it is they want to do. And they might catch some people unaware, but God's never unaware, and God is always ready, and God always has a plan, and God always has an answer. And for us today, I'm asking us as a church body, how blind can we be if we don't recognize the work of a thief or a robber among our midst? It's not an individual. It is the spirit of Satan himself. That's what it is. Can we call it what it is? How many of you believe in demons? Just somebody say amen.
Amen.
You better believe in demons. They're real. How many of you believe in Jesus Christ?
Amen.
Well, you better believe in Jesus Christ. Otherwise, you're just at a social club. I'm not here to manage or to teach or to play along in a social club. I hope that you hear the intent of that statement. I am here to serve God and God alone.
Amen.
And that service involves being with you, but I will not play politics with God or the body of the church. And we either walk together in service to God or we don't. But be known by who you are. Are you coming over the side or are you coming through the door? God clearly defines it. The Pharisees didn't even accept it. Are we blind? Are you saying that we are blind? Are we blind? Let me tell you about the Pharisees. You've read about Pharisees in the scripture, haven't you? This is the nature and the character of the Pharisees. These are the ones who wanted to steal away the blind man's joy. These are the ones who trusted that they were righteous and they despised others. And Jesus gave us a wonderful teaching on that when the Pharisees stood in the temple and prayed and said, "Thank you, God, I am not like this man, this tax collector over here, who couldn't even look at heaven, but only beat on his chest and said, 'God, forgive me, I'm a sinner.'" And the Pharisee over to the side, "I give tithes and mint and offering of everything I have. Thank you, God, I'm not like that guy. I'm so thankful I'm not like him. I am so thankful I'm not like him." And Jesus said, "I tell you the truth. One went home justified in the eyes of God. It wasn't the Pharisee. It was not the one who stood proudly in their heritage and their tradition, which was separated far from the truth." God says, "Haven't you heard? It's not your sacrifice that I want. It's your heart. It's your heart that I have been after. All of creation, it is your heart. Because if I have your heart, I've got the most important part. And we can go from here to there in unison, in joy. Might be a little bumpy, but we get there. Especially on this side of eternity. Jesus said, you know, the world hated me first. I haven't seen any vote taken recently by any World Council or NATO or anybody else that says, how many of us love God today? I haven't seen any proclamation by world leaders that says, hey, the world's turning the corner. We're all going to follow the Lord Jesus Christ now. Anybody in here see that? Because I missed it if they did it. How many of us in the church have, though, and didn't mean it? How blind are we? Can we see how blind we are? And if we are walking in blindness, I can tell you God knows it. And God sees it. In Matthew 24, Jesus had this to say about the scribes. I'm just going to give you a few of these. He says, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, those who shut up the kingdom of heaven against men, those who win people to follow their teachings and to make them more a prisoner of hell than they are themselves, teaching religion and not relationship. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! You neglect justice and mercy and faith. You are whitewashed tombs full of dead men's bones." Whitewashed tombs full of dead men's bones. In Matthew 15, the Pharisees were arguing with Jesus because his disciples didn't wash their hands the way they said they should wash their hands, for crying out loud. Didn't wash their hands. You know, the Pharisees and the scribes, they had a regulation on purity and sanctification, and some of the ways you had to dip your hand so that the water ran and dripped off your elbow, and you weren't purified in the eyes of God if you didn't follow all of these rules and regulations. Oh, Jesus, your disciples don't wash their hands properly before they eat. We don't have those kind of arguments in church, do we? Jesus said this in that account. Listen to what he says, please. "Let them alone." Talking to his disciples about the Pharisees. "Let them alone. They are blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind leads the blind, both will fall into a ditch." You know what that sounds like in today's vernacular? We say it something like this. They can't even get out of their own way. You ever said that about anybody? Look at them. They can't even get out of their own way. That's what Jesus is saying about the Pharisee. This is what Jesus is saying about the Pharisees. "Let them alone. They are blind leading the blind." And they stood before him and said, "Are we blind also?" After all they had seen, after all they had heard, after all of the testimony that came before them, they still stood before the blind man and says, "I'm not his disciple, you are. I'm a disciple of Moses." And we know that the scripture clearly points to Jesus through Moses. There's no denying it. Jesus is the fulfillment of the law and the promise in the new covenant of grace and mercy for all who will come. How blind can we be? We should be blind to things in the church. You know what it is? It's to whether someone is worthy to be in God's church. It is to whether they are in the same class, the same social class as I am or you. We should be blind to the things that matter in the world but have no consequence whatsoever in the eyes of God. We should be blind to what makes us lost, looking for that in people so we can strain it out like a gnat and then try to swallow a camel. I think Jesus mentions that in the scripture too. We can't even see the plank in our own eye because we're too busy finding splinters in everybody else. And I told you what Joshua had to say. Serve the Lord with sincerity and truth. And if you want to serve him with sincerity, then know what he teaches. Bring it in. Let it become alive in you so that you can recognize sin when you see it. You can recognize sin when you hear it. You can see the path of destruction when it's laid out before you with roses on all sides and splendor shown at the end. You know it's a path of destruction, and you're not walking that path because you understand you have trusted God sincerely and you know His Word. But don't stop without adding truth. Truth doesn't just show you what sin is so you can recognize it or just reveal the path so that you don't walk it. Truth reveals to yourself when you are propagating the lie. When you are presenting the path to someone else that leads to destruction. When you have the splinter in your eye. When you haven't found repentance for the sin in your life. When you realize that you are not a new creation in Jesus Christ. Sincerity and truth. These are weighty matters that we and everyone who comes to Jesus Christ ought to take up every day. Not because of what we see in others, but because of what we see in ourselves. When you look in the mirror every morning, you shouldn't say, "Oh God, I thank you I'm saved and not like those other people that ain't." Being saved should not bring pride upon our life. I'm proud that I'm saved.
Amen.
You should be humble because you're saved. Because you didn't do it. It was a gift, remember? Because God loves you that much. Can I tell you something? God loved that blind man. He healed his eyes, gave him new eyes. God healed those lepers because he loved them. God healed those lame and those other people in the Scripture because they reached out and they needed Him. God reached out to them and loved them because they were letting Him love them. Pharisees were the only ones trying to keep them out. Do we have churches among us today that live the life of a Pharisee and try to keep those people out? How blind can we be? I'm asking us, how blind can we be? Is the heart of the Pharisee alive and well in the church today? Is the thief and the robber alive and well in the church today? Because that's what we need to ask ourselves. I tell you that I'm afraid he is trying to be. I'm telling you that it concerns me that he has a foothold in the lives of people in the church. And I am telling you this because of the evidence that has been presented. Luke chapter 7, you find these words. For John the Baptist came neither eating bread nor drinking wine, and you say, he has a demon. The Son of Man has come eating and drinking, and you say, look, a glutton and a wine bibber, a friend of tax collectors and sinners, for crying out loud. But wisdom is justified by all of her children. What does it look like in the eyes of God? I'm just going to give you an example. What if we were having a meal here at our church and somebody unexpected showed up, uninvited? Would we receive them and offer them a meal, or would we reject them and cast them out in anger and tell them they don't belong? This cost us $5 or $10 or $15 or $20. You haven't paid. If somebody else offers to pay that meal, would we lose our anger that was never justified to begin with? Would we offer them the meal? Would we let them come in and sit among us and share the meal? Would we be like Jesus and share a table with tax collectors and wine bibbers and sinners, for crying out loud? Would we be what God has called us to be? Or would we run them off with anger and hatred? And then stand on this very platform the Sunday following and offer food to those who are still here, leftovers, because it's going to go bad if someone doesn't eat it. I'm going to tell you, the meal went bad when hatred presented itself the night it was first offered. When it was sprinkled with hate and discontent, and when people and souls were rejected in the house of God because they didn't belong. None of us belong. And to offer it then, before it goes bad, the meal is already bad, my friends. Let me share something with you. Scripture tells us in Hebrews, let brotherly love continue, and do not forget to entertain strangers, for by doing so, some have unwittingly entertained angels. And you stand before me and you say this, and you may be right. Well, I know who it was, and that wasn't no angel. It might not have been an angel, but let me tell you what it was. And you have forgotten this because you've become blind to who we are supposed to be. That soul is a witness that they were rejected by people who claim to know God. A voice of rejection, a testimony against what we say, but we love our community. But you get out of here. You don't belong. It may not have been an angel, but they are a witness against a rebellious heart. How blind can we be? Are you telling me that I don't love God? I'm telling you that your actions, if you act like this, say that you don't love God. Not me. It's God who is trying to save that same lost soul the same way He's saving yours. You don't want them. They don't belong. They didn't pay. But look at the abundance we had to offer on Sunday morning before it went bad. Luke 18:16, Jesus is speaking. And you can use this and in the New Testament, whether you use King James or whether you use New King James. Let the children come unto me. King James says, suffer the children to come unto me. And do not forbid them, for such is the kingdom of God. Amen. And yet when we are about to have a mission reach out into the community. Before church service even begins on Sunday morning, someone is in my office saying, the church isn't paying for this. Where is the heart for God and for the lost in this church? This is the heart of Judas. And the heart of Pharisee. You want to see the heart of Judas? The woman poured out the oil on Christ. And he said, oh, we should take that and sell it and give it to the community. But our church, we don't even want to give it to the community. Amen. Are we so blind? This is a body problem, y'all. This is not just an individual. This is not recognizing it in the body and pointing it out. I'm standing here today and I'm telling you, Jesus Christ sees it. Let me tell you what he thinks about it. He says this in Scripture. Many of you may think I'm going to refer to Matthew chapter 7 when he says, "Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. I never knew you." Oh, no, I'm going to share something else with you. Matthew 25, he says this, "Assuredly I say to you," and he's speaking to those on the left who are being cast out, "Inasmuch as you did not do it to the least of these, you did not do it to me." Are we so blind that we can't see the mission of God before us and the opportunity to be God's people the way He has called us to be? And then some of the Pharisees who were with him heard these words and said to him, "Are we blind also? Are we blind also?" Because I believe in the whole of all of Scripture and the teaching of all of Scripture. I know that there is time of repentance and forgiveness, and I know that that unity and salvation can have that joy alive and well again. But if it wants to live with the heart of a Pharisee, it should expect even more than what it's already seen. And because I believe in the dispensation of the church and the rapture of the church before the great tribulation and the things that God reveals, I do believe that the seven churches that are shown in Revelation are representation of churches and the life of those churches throughout the ages and especially in the last days. And to the church of Sardis, Jesus says this, "I know your works, that you have a name that you are alive, but you are dead. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die, for I have not found your works perfect before God. Remember therefore how you have received and heard. Hold fast and repent. Therefore, if you will not watch, I will come upon you as a thief, and you will not know what hour I will come upon you." The same thief that tries to destroy the unity of a church, in that same stealthy way, Christ says, "Oh, you'll die. And then there will be a moment when I come like a thief and you won't even know I'm coming." You know why they won't know He's coming? Because the heart of the Pharisee has kept them blind to who God has called them to be. Church, we are warned throughout all of Scripture. And an alarm is being sounded today. Who are we going to be? I know who I'm going to be. I know who I'm going to follow. And I know who I'm going to preach. And it's Jesus Christ. And I pray that all of us will hear the Spirit calling us to repentance where it's needed and to rejuvenation where it's needed. But calling all of us to remember, this is a walk in faith. How we take the next step? Trust God. That's the only way we can do it. I shared with you last week when Jesus ascended into heaven and the disciples were standing here looking around like, "Oh, what are we going to do now?" And the angels appeared and said, "Why are y'all standing around looking at heaven? This same Jesus that left, He's coming back in the same glory that you saw Him leave. But go to Jerusalem and get ready, because He's going to empower you soon. and then you will go. They didn't have a proven leader. They didn't have a financial backing. They didn't have anything. They had their faith, and they had their trust, and they had the Spirit of God, and the church grew exponentially over the next months. I can't make you trust God. I can't make you have faith in God. I can tell you what it looks like, though, as a body. And are we so blind that we can't see it before a moment like this? And Jesus Christ loves you. He loves every one of you. And Joel loves you. Every one of you. And Joel is pleading with you. Remember our service to Him. To Him. And be what God calls us to be. Before it's too late. If you don't know Jesus as Lord and Savior, I invite you to come and know Him. And to know the walk. To know the joy and to know the excitement of still things yet to come. But know also this. The world hated Him first. And though He sends us out among wolves and that it is dangerous, He doesn't send us out alone. He says, go and tell. Too many churches have on their sign, come and hear. Jesus said, go and tell. Too many churches have on their sign, hotel for saints, when it ought to say hospital for sinners. Too many people have forgotten what God has called us to be. But there is time, even for Sardis, to repent before He comes. I pray today you become alive in Christ. Father, I thank You for this day. I thank You for Your words that strengthen us and that teach us, Lord, that convict us. And I pray, Father, I pray for Your unity and for Your Spirit to fill us to overflowing. I pray, Father, for Your help. I pray for Your joy and for Your salvation, for Your testimony of it all and the truth of it all to be seen in our lives, among each other and among our neighbors. Lord, I pray this to Your glory alone and in Your name and Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
The altar is open. If you will come, I will meet you.